This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Monday, February 4th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Forums and Multimedia Director for SMA News Today.
The American Society of Gene and Cell Therapy has unveiled a new online resource. It's designed to keep patients, caregivers, and the public informed of the latest in gene and cell therapies, including those intended for SMA. Gene Therapy 101 is the organization's debut release from its new patient education program. It was designed by the ASGTC committee volunteers in tandem with patient advocacy groups. The program's aim is to provide information on therapy status and potential. Through February, the organization will also explore five diseases. They were specifically chosen because of the promising status of their gene and cell therapies. The diseases and the release dates are the following: February 1st, SMA; February 12th, X-linked myotubular myopathy; February 15th, leukodystrophy; February 22nd, blood disorders; and finally, on February 28th, inherited retinal disorders. Now, this is particularly relevant for SMA. This is because Zolgen SMA, which was developed by Novartis-owned AveXis, is on its way to potentially becoming the first gene therapy approved for the disease. A US FDA decision is expected in May. Gene Therapy 101 is now available online. It discusses gene therapy basics, different approaches to gene therapy and editing, and cell therapy. Also, how gene therapies go from concepts to treatments. With the help of videos and downloadable graphics, it also provides a host of resources and frequently asked questions. The site begins by laying out the basics: what gene therapy is, its history, and how it works. It also explains what genes are and how gene therapy can help. It defines what a rare disease is and goes through disorders that have gene therapies and describes the use of viral vectors. There's also a section on different approaches and discusses how the biomedical research field has a shared goal of treating diseases, and this is all done by altering the genetic makeup of the human body. It also describes how each approach changes genetic material in slightly different ways. That section also discusses gene therapy versus traditional medications, as well as the challenges and benefits, including funding and regulatory issues, optimal means of genetic material delivery, long-term effects and maintenance, and therapeutic agent design. There's a third section that explains how therapies progress to treatments, and of course discussing the role of the FDA. With this, the impacts of federal breakthrough and priority review designations. In addition, it delves into patient access and finding clinical trials. For a background on SMA, it is caused by a change or mutation in a person's DNA. In SMA patients, there's a mutation in the SMN1 gene, and this leads to a lack of SMN protein production, and ultimately to the loss of motor neurons. In humans, a second gene, SMN2, can produce a small amount of SMN protein, but not enough to maintain muscle function. Investigators have been working on ways to raise the levels of SMN protein in SMA patients. One approach is gene therapy, which scientists believe may be a way to treat the disease. This involves gene alteration, either by replacing a defective gene or adding a new one. In addition to AveXis, two other companies are investigating gene therapy approaches for SMA, namely, a Sanofi company called Genzyme, and the other is Genethon Inserm. And the ASGTC is the nation's chief professional membership organization for scientists, physicians, patient advocates, and other professionals with an interest in gene and cell therapy.
Coming up next, I'll share one of my perspectives with you.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
About a week ago, I had to go through my annual physical therapy assessment that's required when you're on active treatment with Spinraza. Most patients are tested before they begin their treatments, and this is called a baseline test. But unfortunately, I never went through my baseline test before beginning my injections. This made me somewhat nervous about what I was going to be tested on and what the results would reveal. When I arrived at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, Texas for the assessment, the physical therapist that was going to be performing the evaluation looked at me, and we immediately recognized each other. She was the physical therapist that conducted the class on physical therapy at the 2018 annual CureSMA conference, which was held in my hometown of Dallas, Texas in June of 2018. Leslie was the physical therapist that I would be seeing that day, and she and I spoke at great length regarding SMA and the benefits of physical therapy. I told her that I had been going through physical therapy for just over 1 year and started my workouts just after my second loading dose in October 2017. I told her about the exercises that my physical therapist and I were doing and even provided her some statistical data regarding the results that we had seen. As she reviewed these results, she saw just how much progress that I had made in over 1 year, and she was excited to see that physical therapy was working for me. Ever since starting physical therapy, I've been a huge advocate for those that are suffering from SMA to take physical therapy while on treatment and the benefits that we could all see. While we were speaking to each other, I told her about AveXis Pharmaceuticals and that they were possibly going to get approval for their treatment known as Zolgen SMA. After I said this, a huge smile came across Leslie's face. I looked at her with a grin on my face, and she told me that she actually worked for AveXis. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to speak much about Zolgen SMA because it's still going through the approval process with the FDA. But in general, I could tell by the tone in her voice that this was going to be an exciting treatment for those of us who suffered from SMA. Leslie is an associate professor of physical therapy at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. She told me that in the fall semester of every year, they do a lecture series where they bring in different guest speakers to talk about diseases and the benefits of physical therapy. She told me that she was so impressed with the benefits that I had seen, she asked me if I would be interested in becoming the guest speaker when it came time to talk about spinal muscular atrophy and physical therapy. I told her that it would be my honor to speak in front of her students. She asked me if I had any concerns about speaking in front of a large group of people, and I told her that I had been a college instructor like her for over 18 years, so if I could survive that, speaking in front of 60 to 80 people would give me no problems whatsoever. One of the topics that I'm going to be discussing with her students will be that those students that are going after their doctorates in physical therapy will probably see more patients with SMA in the future. As patients with SMA, we were always told never to exercise and to do physical therapy when we were younger. As a matter of fact, I still remember my doctor telling me that if I tried to get stronger, I would actually be doing more damage to my body than good. Now that Spinraza is available, we're now receiving the protein that our body needs to not only sustain the muscle that we have, it also gives us the ability to get a little bit stronger. I'm also going to tell them about my efforts that I had to go through in finding a good physical therapist. When my neurologist told me it was time to start working out, you would think that finding a physical therapist would be easy. But trust me, this was much more difficult than I had ever imagined. I called quite a few physical therapists that had workout facilities where I lived, but they were reluctant to work out with me because they didn't know anything about SMA. And I guess you could call it the fear of the unknown, but their reluctance in their voice made me hesitant to even go to them and give them a shot. I finally spoke to a young lady by the name of Laura, and she told me that I could immediately come in for an evaluation and that she would come up with some exercises that would help me in my efforts to get stronger. I worked out with Laura for just over 1 year, and I'm now working out with her physical therapy assistant, Emily. Between Laura and Emily, I've been able to achieve milestones that I never thought possible. My core strength has improved exponentially, and my breathing is also greatly improved. We work on core strengthening 1 week, which involves my abdominals, back, shoulder, and neck muscles, and then the next week, we work on my leg exercises, like my range of motion and stretching, and they also work on the tendons and ligaments in my knees, ankles, and feet. We rotate every other week regarding my core strengthening and my leg exercises so that I get a good workout each and every week. Physical therapists need to fully understand 2 points. First, SMA patients are excited about physical therapy because we were never able to do this in the past. And second, another thing that they need to know is that the SMA patient will not be their typical physical therapy patient. Most patients go in for physical therapy because they're trying to recover from an accident, say a sports injury, or they're recovering from surgery, like a knee or a hip replacement. While most therapists will see patients for about 6 to 8 weeks, SMA patients will require a much longer plan of action. My insurance company has told me that as long as my physical therapist deems my therapy as medically necessary, I can continue taking physical therapy once a week as long as I need to. Both Laura and Emily realize that my physical therapy will probably be something that I need to continue for the rest of my life. While I know that I'm not going to get up and be able to walk, maintaining the strength that I have has allowed me to realize that my quality of life now has a chance of giving me a brighter future. Knowing that I'm not going to get any worse allows me to set future goals, and my future goals are endless. The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcasts and flash briefings can be found by going to our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Forms and Multimedia Director.